This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, this week it's World Rainforest Day, and with COP30 coming up in the heart of the Amazon rainforest this November, 2025 could be a make or break year for rainforests. Rainforests are, of course, the lush forests that cover the equatorial region of our planet. Sir David Attenborough and others have shown us these biodiversity powerhouses with their huge trees, brightly coloured birds, and extraordinary insect life. We know that they're important. We've also seen the frightening statistics about the rate at which they're being destroyed. But we're a long way away from tropical rainforests here in Hertfordshire. We've never taken a chainsaw to a rainforest tree, and so we do tend to think that, though distressing, rainforest destruction is a problem that we're not part of, and it's for somebody else to solve. Not the case, says Kate Findlay, Chief Forest Advisor at the WWF. We can be part of the problem, but also part of the solution. And whilst without action, the future of our rainforest does look bleak, there are reasons for hope. I spoke to Kate and I started by asking her to remind us just how important rainforests are.
Thanks, Amanda. Rainforests are an amazing ecosystem and they affect us here in the UK every day. They regulate our climate. Without them, the global temperature would be 1 degree hotter. They affect weather patterns around the world. They affect places like Southeast Asia and the Midwest in America. Without them, these major bread baskets would be badly impacted and we'd have less food on the table. They're also amazingly important for biodiversity. As you all know, I have this one favourite experiment from the 80s where a scientist went out and fogged a tree in Panama and he counted how many beetle species and he found 1,200 in that single tree. So imagine that, but they're all around the tropical areas of the world. They're such important harbour and of course we are losing them at a devastating rate.
And why should we care about losing biodiversity?
It's a good question. There are many products that we use here in the UK that depend on that biodiversity. For example, malaria medication is based on quinine. It's from a rainforest tree. We would never have found that if that forest wasn't there. And there's also many cancer treatments are derived from tropical forest trees. So there's so many more left out there that we just won't ever find and discover if we don't have the forests left standing.
Yeah, and it would be a big shame as well, wouldn't it, to lose all those species? So, yes, well, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. Now, I saw on your WWF website that you'd reported news from the Global Forest Watch about loss of tropical forest last year, and it's not good news, is it?
No, absolutely not. So last year saw record forest fires across the tropics. We've got into this really terrible loop where climate change is causing droughts. Droughts are making fires more likely, causing the forest to burn down, which in turn causes more climate change. It's really terrible. And those fires are particularly bad in South America, in Brazil and in Bolivia, where we've seen devastating forest losses. And this really needs concerted action on climate change and also on the ground in fire prevention and control.
Okay. I mean, that sounds terrible from a global point of view. Also, for people locally, that must be absolutely awful as well. And it's hard to think how any kind of animal or plant life would survive anything like that. Now, that all does sound very sad, but, you know, it is a long way away. And is that anything to do with us, really? Yes, it will be sad that our climate will be affected. But is there anything that we are doing here which is particularly causing a rainforest destruction? Anything that we are buying or doing? Can you tell us which, for instance, which products we buy impact rainforests the most?
Absolutely. It's a really good question. So there's a number of products that we buy that come from rainforest areas, actually formerly rainforested areas. Rainforest has been cut down and in their place, these crops grown. Yeah, we need to think carefully about what we can do with that to have less of an impact. So the UK has something like the 15th largest deforestation footprint in the world. So the top products that we buy that are driving this are, number one is cattle products. Number two is palm oil products. And number three is soy related products. So cattle is one of the main factors causing deforestation of the Amazon. And while we don't buy very much beef from the Amazon, it has such a huge impact because it requires so much land there. It makes a huge part of our footprint up. And what can you do about that? Well, you probably don't go into the supermarket and say, oh, well, I want to buy South American beef. It's actually often in products like ready meals, catering services, for example, in schools. It's kind of quite hidden. So it's quite difficult to avoid, really. Also, because I should say soy, it's not that we actually eat that much soy, it's that soy is fed to animals that we then eat. For example, we feed it in this country to chickens, to pigs, to farmed fish even. So looking for certifications can help. Also, considering a more plant-based diet can help. It can also help with tackling climate change.
But if we're having a more plant-based diet, do you suggest that we avoid eating soy products like tofu?
No, I don't. Tofu has a much smaller impact on forests than eating something that has been fed on lots more soy. It's actually quite an efficient way to eat. And you can also look, there's more sustainably produced soy and more sustainably produced palm oil, for example, that can have a lower deforestation footprint. You can look for certifications. So for in palm oil, you have RSPO certification, and in soy, you have RTRS certification, are probably the most widely held as good standards here.
Okay. And if we're buying soy products, is the organic label one we can rely on?
That label, well, it's good for the farm that it's on. It's not usually very related to deforestation in particular.
Okay. So we need to look at for both of those certifications then. So are palm oil and cattle products or beef that's been fed on soya, are those the three main drivers of deforestation that we need to be aware of?
They are, and it's particularly those products from particular places. So recognising that these, along with cocoa, actually, the UK government actually has a law that's on the statute books at the moment that rather than customers having to make this choice every time they go to the supermarket, which I realise can be quite challenging, 2 years ago, the UK wrote a law that says all of these products coming to the UK can't come from illegally deforested areas. That was 2 years ago, and we've still not seen that law actually brought into force. So that's something that WWF are campaigning on at the moment. And you can actually join that campaign if you'd like to do something about this. We have a campaign running where you can email your local MP and the Secretary of State for the Environment to demand that he brings this law into force.
Okay, well, that would make things a lot easier, wouldn't it, if we could go into a supermarket knowing that the products that we're buying, any beef that we're buying, any products containing palm oil, of which there are so many, aren't there, that they are rainforest friendly. They've not been produced in a way that would involve any more deforestation. So fingers crossed there. And do you think there's a chance of that law actually coming into force? Is this something that the government has any sort of moves on?
I mean, it's literally in the law already. They just haven't brought it in. It's entirely within the gift of the government to do this. It's completely possible. The EU is actually bringing in a very similar law at the end of this year. And at that point, the UK will be lagging behind.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that a link to that campaign goes into the notes that you find with the podcast of this show, because that feels like a great way of helping rainforests and making it a lot easier for us if we want to do the right thing when we're going shopping. So the WWF reported on some recent good news for rainforests, the Tropical Forest Forever facility. And you say that this has got a huge potential to help bridge the finance gap and safeguard tropical forests. Now, do you think you can explain to us, hopefully simply, because it sounds like quite a complicated thing, can you just explain to us what the TTFFF is and how it could be a big help for rainforests?
Of course. So TFFF is something new and really exciting in the sort of forest world. And COP30 this year, the big climate change conference, is going to be hosted in Brazil, actually in the Amazon. And this is going to be the big thing that happens there. Hopefully it will be announced and the money will be in place. So the TFFF is basically a massive trust fund. It's $125 billion is what they're aiming for. What they're going to do is invest that, and then they're going to get returns every year, and they'll use those returns to pay highly forested countries for each hectare of tropical forest they have. So hopefully persuade those governments that it's actually financially better, more in their interests to keep it rather than to cut it down.
Okay, well, that sounds very sensible. You've also made some suggestions that the proposals for the TFFF could be better. How do you think, or how do you hope, that it will be strengthened?
So there's some negotiations going on at the moment as to sort of where that money goes and also who qualifies for it. One point that many NGOs are campaigning on is ring fencing a proportion of the money that is given out for indigenous peoples and local communities. So particularly in the Amazon, there's really strong evidence that indigenous peoples are very effective at protecting their forests. In indigenous territories, it's something between a third and a half less deforestation is seen there. So we want to ensure that indigenous peoples are rewarded for their efforts and continue to do them.
Okay, well, that sounds like it makes a lot of sense there. Now, people like Indigenous people are some of the people that the WWF is working with. You've been fighting to conserve rainforests for decades now. Can you just tell us a little bit more about some of the campaigns you've got going on at the minute and some of the other people that you're working with to try and make those successful?
Of course. So WWF has offices all around the world and in just about every tropical forest nation. We do some really exciting work with Indigenous peoples in the Amazon, where we, for example, supply drones so that and teach them how to monitor their own forests using those drones so that they can see when loggers or whatever it might be are coming into their territory. Actually, on fires, we had a project in Bolivia helping this particular Indigenous group get legal recognition that they owned the land that they inhabit. And actually, in the latest forest stats, we saw that that indigenous area, you can see it clearly on a map, their forest fires didn't really get into it, and all around forest fires were taking off. So we do lots of really cool work on the ground. We do campaigns like the one I mentioned for better laws in this country. And we also just work much more generally on climate change. For example, in the climate change conference coming up, that's really important because particularly in the Amazon, you have sort of the effects of deforestation and climate change are working together to sort of systemically degrade the forest. And they work in this loop, exaggerating the other one causing the other and vice versa. The real worry here, scientists are really worried that we're going to hit a tipping point for the Amazon. So that's where we reach a certain point of deforestation or climate change or both, where the forest actually collapses and becomes a savanna. We're starting to see this in like localized places. But the big worry is it could happen on a vast scale across the Amazon, which is a massive area, and it would disrupt our whole global climate and rainfall patterns.
That's slightly depressing. I just wondered if you had anything positive, do you have hope that we can turn this around? Do you get the feeling that when it comes to COP30, that there is a real will to actually make change and to save our rainforests?
I think there is a will there, absolutely. And we've seen massive wins in some places. I mean, Costa Rica, for example, they'd deforested something like 80% of their forests and they turned it around completely. And now they're this famously rainforested nation. It can be done. It's not easy, but it absolutely can be done. we can turn a corner on this. And COP30 is a good place to make that change happen. It is the Amazon COP. It's in the Amazon rainforest. There's no ignoring this. We absolutely can turn a corner.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for finishing that on a positive note. We keep our fingers crossed for that. Thank you for telling us about that today. I was talking there to Kate Finley, Chief Forest Advisor at the WWF. And I'll pop a link to the action that Kate asked us to take, asking for the law to be finally enacted here in the UK that would prevent products from illegally deforested areas from being imported here. I'll pop that link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And I'll also add a link to the podcast where I spoke to one of Kate's colleagues at the WWF about the sustainability of cocoa and chocolate, about the issues around cocoa production and how we can ensure that our chocolate is a force for good. And you might also be interested to know that Friends of the Earth are also concerned about the products we buy damaging habitats like tropical forests, which is why they're pursuing their Planet Before Profit campaign. They're looking for a UK law to make UK companies liable in the UK for any environmental or human rights abuses that they cause in other parts of the world. And I'll add a link to their online action to the others that go with the podcast. So it certainly would be good to know that we can do our weekly shop safe in the knowledge that we're not contributing to the destruction of the magnificent, if far away, forests on which, as Kate pointed out, we all rely. But in the meantime, it's down to us to be careful about our consumption of those products that Kate told us about and to look out for certifications that indicate that a product has been produced in a rainforest-friendly way. So is this something that you already do? Will you, for example, refuse to buy a ready meal which doesn't state where the beef in it's come from, or a chocolate bar without a Rainforest Alliance logo? I'd love to hear from you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6, on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.